This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. If you have lived or worked in Over the Rhine, downtown, or in Mount Auburn or Clifton Heights, you know Alabama Fish Bar. It anchors the corner at Liberty and Race, and over the years has fed millions of people, especially on Fridays. Many have worried that a critical institution like Alabama Fish Bar might not survive redevelopment, but last week, 3CDC clarified that plans for the building will not push Alabama out. We are joined today by the Director of Communications for the Cincinnati Center City Development Corporation, 3CDC, Joe Rudemiller. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Joe, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Not everybody knows Alabama Fish Bar who mm-hmm. might be listening to us. So it's on the ground level of a fairly large building mm-hmm. in Over the Rhine. What's the condition of that building overall?
Essentially, the building is a historic building, and the floors above Alabama's are vacant and have been for some time. So I think they're not in complete disrepair, but certainly could use a little bit of a rehab at this point.
And is that the plan?
Yes, that is the plan. So,
and explain how 3CDC operates in that sort of situation in terms of, okay, here's this building in a pretty critical location, Race and Liberty, and how does 3CDC get something like that done?
So actually, there's a little bit of a backstory to this, Dan. If you go back about 4 years, the city of Cincinnati put out a preferred developer agreement, and they selected 3CDC for that. And essentially what that meant was we vetted projects for a bunch of buildings that the city owned. And when a good proposal came forward from a developer, we would then make a recommendation to the city to move forward with that project. There were about 30 buildings or so included in that PDA, and we made recommendations on about 25 of them. And 11 of those have moved forward, and some of the other ones are for sale. But in a number of instances, developers came forward wanting to develop this 1601 Race where Alabama's is located. And we essentially said, you can do that, and we'll kind of make that recommendation only if you commit to keeping Alabama's. So a couple people balked at that and decided that they did not want to do that. So flash forward to today, and we have this kind of broad affordable housing initiative that we're working on with a number of partners in the neighborhood, including Model Group, Over the Rhine Community Housing, and some others. And we saw these buildings that were prime candidates for that. And so we went to the city and said, here's our plan. We'd like to get a long-term lease on these buildings so we can go apply for some historic tax credits to make this to make the financing viable. And so the city agreed, and right now that's where we're at, is we have an application in for the historic tax credits. And if those come through, then hopefully we'll have the financing in place and can start construction about a year from now.
Are we talking state-based historic tax credits?
That's correct.
Okay. So this is going up through Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
So you made the – 3CDC had made the decision you wanted Alabama Fish Bar to survive.
Absolutely.
Why?
Because for the reason that you brought up. We think it is an important kind of cultural touchstone here in Over the Rhine. Obviously, it brings up a lot of emotions from a number of people when it comes up. A lot of people are very attached to it, and we feel like it's important to have there on the corner of Race and Liberty.
And why would certain developers not want it?
Well, I think it might make it easier to kind of redevelop that whole space if Alabama's is not there. And so in terms of putting together their financing and looking at other tenants, maybe that would be what their motivation was.
Okay. So when this gets – assuming that you get the tax credits, the historic mm-hmm. tax credits, and get the funding, what sort of – this is going to be affordable housing in – How many units are in there? How many units would you ultimately end up with? You may be changing the number of units and the configuration. I'm not sure. What's sort of the goal here?
Sure. So this property at 1601 Race, where Alabama's is actually part of a slightly broader project, which also incorporates 124 West Liberty, which is just down the street there. And so with this particular project, we'd essentially be developing that into about 17 apartment units with a mix of affordable and market rate. We're not sure exactly what the breakdown would be on that. And then the other property on Liberty, we would put in about 2,000 square feet of street-level commercial space on that on that building as well. So it would be a mix.
Okay. And that's what you generally have tried to do throughout over the Rhine, is have mixed use with some sort of retail business of some kind.
That's correct.
Operating on the street level and housing up at the top, which is the way those buildings were designed to begin with.
That's right.
That's what they were supposed to be. Will, in this process of updating the building, will Alabama Fish Bar be updated too? Will it be get a new kitchen? Will it get new utilities? Will there be better plumbing? I don't know what they need.
Sure. We've been in touch with the owner at Alabama's, and Anna's aware of our plans. We essentially have said if she would like upgrades or updates or improvements, that's certainly something that we're open to discussing. I think at this point, she seems pretty comfortable with the space as it is. And so we'll kind of take our cues from her and what she would like to see.
So you don't have to go in there and
that's correct.
Do something that is different than what's there now.
That is correct. And we anticipate her being open.
So the fish is still going to taste the same.
That's right. That's right.
And that is the goal, by the way. So how does this fit in? I mean, this is just on the north side of Liberty, but there are a couple of things operating here. One is the future of Liberty Street itself and the configuration of Liberty. And there's been a long process where it seemed like we were about in the point where we're going to narrow Liberty. That sort of ground to a halt, at least temporarily. Where does 3CDC fit into that discussion?
I think we're kind of watching it to see what the community and what the city decides. We still have plenty of work to do on a number of buildings south of Liberty. And so we're just kind of keeping our head down and keeping to our work. And we'll kind of let that play out.
You haven't taken a public position
on
what you think.
That is correct.
Okay. Also, another aspect of some of the discussions that are going on right now, and it just came out last week, was a commitment by 3CDC, by Model Group, Mortar, a number of organizations interested in the future of Over the Rhine, about making sure that there was an increased presence of African-American-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. Now, as I understand it, Alabama Fish Bar is not African-American-owned. Clientele, right. There's a lot of clientele that is, but it's not African-American-owned. But how important is that to as you move forward, and how does that change the equation of getting that first floor retail, mixed-use retail going in not just this building but across the district?
Yeah, what you're referring to is an initiative called Represent. And so council members Tamiya Denard and Greg Landsman brought together, kind of convened a group and said, is there a way that we can make Over the Rhine a little bit more representative of the city of Cincinnati's population as a whole? And so we're committed, along with, you mentioned, Model Group, Urban Sites, Findlay Market, to trying to move forward, fill a majority of our businesses with African-American owners. That is our goal.
A majority of spaces that are not filled now, from this point on, will become African American.
That is the goal.
What's that going to take to make that happen?
Well, that's what we're trying to find out today. So actually, we have a kickoff event tonight for this initiative. It's brand new. So at
perfect time at to
Findlay
have you
Market,
here.
That's right. Tonight at 5 p.m., there's going to be a number of representatives from all those organizations, as well as from Fifth Third and LISC, actually. They're kind of provide an overview of what we're trying to do. But essentially, at this point, we're still in kind of a fact-finding mission, trying to determine what are the barriers from more Black-owned business owners coming forward. Is it a financing thing? Is it they don't have a business plan ready to go? Do they need some of the counseling and some of the services that Mortar provides? What is that? And so it's still in the kind of infancy stages, but we're committed to seeing this through, to trying to understand what that baseline is, and then moving forward to seeing what kind of solutions there are to address that.
For people who don't know what Mortar is, mm-hmm. what is it?
They bring in business owners in the community and entrepreneurs and try to give them kind of coaching on how to get up and running, and then they've done a great job in helping them try to transition into these brick and mortar spaces.
Okay, sort of an accelerator,
exactly.
Of types. Okay, mm-hmm. That's sort of the business side of things. Mm-hmm. What about the housing side? Is there going to be a significant difference between the percentages of affordable housing units north of Liberty that will be different than south of Liberty? Are these two significantly different districts in 3CDC's mind?
Well, I don't want to say between north and south of Liberty, but we're actually involved right now in a really kind of massive affordable housing initiative with some of those organizations that I mentioned earlier, Model Group and Over the Rhine Community Housing. And this kind of the broad goal of that initiative is to either create or improve 400 units of affordable housing along with 300 units of market rate housing. And that's scattered site projects. There's probably about 12 projects, and it'll be roughly $220 million of total development across all those projects. Some of them are north of Liberty. Some of them are south of Liberty. But essentially, when 3CDC started our work, homeownership was, I think, 4% in the neighborhood. And so we really set out to drive homeownership to create that market rate housing. And 15 years later, we feel like market forces have come in and there are other developers that can really kind of handle that. And so what we're trying to do is shift our focus to creating more affordable housing. And as I mentioned, Model and Over the Rhine Community Housing have been doing it for a long time and doing it very well. And so we're excited to be partnering and working with them to kind of shift our focus into that area as well.
So you're saying that in this initiative you've got going, 400 affordable units, 300 market rate units.
Correct.
So we're talking about 700 coming online. Does that involve units in that Findlay Market area district?
It does.
That's always been a big discussion. Mm-hmm. The market itself seems to be very strong, doing well, but getting the buildings around the market, especially on the upper levels of the residential side, mm-hmm. that's gone slower.
Yeah. So 3CDC specifically is not working on any projects up there, but I know that Model Group has done a lot of great work up there, and I think we'll continue to do so. So we kind of are not partnered on every project with Model or Over the Rhine Community Housing. It kind of there's a mix and match. For instance, about a year ago this time, we just finished 50 units of affordable housing in Abington Race Pleasant. So it's on Race Street and Green Street. And we worked with Model Group as well as Cornerstone Runner Equity on that particular project. So there's a lot of that where—
And Cornerstone, for people who maybe aren't familiar with that, has been around quite a while. Mm-hmm. People who rent there, part of their rent goes into a fund so that they actually create equity,
building equity, yep.
in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just rent gone out the pocket.
Right. So we've done that. We've also done at the Central Parkway YMCA, we did 65 units of affordable housing for seniors. We partnered with Model Group and Episcopal Retirement Services on that. So this is an initiative that actually has already been kind of ongoing for a couple years. And we see this as kind of our focus area moving forward.
So right now do you have a breakdown on the number of market rate versus affordable housing units that 3CDC has been involved in mm-hmm. over the past, 12 years, 15 years, whatever?
So if you look at apartments, actually this is something that people probably would be surprised to hear, but it's actually over 50% of the apartments we created have been affordable. So of 320 or so, 150. 75 of those have been affordable. And then we've also created We've done about 400 condos and townhomes in Over the Rhine.
And those would all be market?
Those would all be market rate.
Correct. So something like in the Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's split.
That is.
But those are apartments?
So those are apartments. That's 67 apartment units, 30 of which are essentially reserved for low-income tenants. And the great thing about that is the fixtures, finishes, everything is the exact same in all of those units. They're high-quality units. It's not like 30 are earmarked affordable and 37 are market rate. It's just that essentially 30 of them at any given time have to be reserved for folks, for low-income folks.
And how has that worked? Have you been able to keep both the market rate and the affordable filled? Have people been there?
So this is not overseeing apartments is not our specialty. So we have we partnered with another agency who oversees that. My understanding is that it's gone very well, and that you know there's been 100% occupancy, and we've had no problem filling those affordable units.
Okay, so these right now, what's on the plate for 3CDC is these developments of whatever it was, 700 units you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Then also the commitment on retail to get more minority-owned businesses.
That's correct.
In those business. Those are two pretty big. Any other priorities on your list right now?
One of the other actually initiatives that we've recently been involved with, which we're excited about, is something called Generosity 513. And that is essentially we've partnered with a number of social service agencies to try to help folks on the street, many of whom are panhandling. Mm-hmm. So we have a jobs van that goes out 4 days a week, picks up folks, gives them a day's work for cash payment as well as lunch, and then tries to connect them with various social service agencies. And you know, through 4 months, we've had actually great success with that.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about affordable housing, by the way, this is sort of backing up. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about in terms of rent? And is that set by the owner of the building, or is it something that's really regulated by what the government does with a person's income, how much income they have, and it's a percentage and all of that sort of thing?
It's a little bit complicated. And again, this is not our expertise, but kind of using round figures. If we think of a family of four in the city of Cincinnati, they'd say the area or the median income for those folks would be $75,000. So if we have a unit that is reserved for someone making 50% of the area median income, that would mean a family of four, their income is about $37,500. The rules essentially stipulate that nobody should have to pay 30%, more than 30% of their income towards rent and utilities. So in the example that I just used, that would come out to be about $950.
And the people living in the next door might have a slightly different rent.
That's correct.
So that it all varies based on the people.
Yes.
Joe, thank you for being here. Got a lot on the plate. Most importantly, the fish is still on the plate.
That's right.
So you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. Segment producer, Layla Shakui. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our program are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley. Stay tuned for Here and Now on 91.7 WVXU.